LAML Radio, Lego Talk Podcast, Episode 13, Blockland. Lego, building bricks into a town. Lego,
build a house and knock it down. Lego. Joining me now on the Skype phone is Eric Hartman, creator of the game Blockland. Eric, if you were to introduce this game to someone who'd never heard of it before, what would you say to them?
Well, it's a multiplayer sandbox-style building game where you players can build things with interconnecting plastic bricks that are similar, although legally distinct, from Legos.
So as the game currently is at right now, is it just building, or is there other features to the game as well?
Yeah. So by default, it is just building. If you join a game, you'll just be building with other people. But what you can do is you can attach items to the bricks, and you can build spawn points and vehicle spawn points. So, and then you can use those spawn points in a mini game. So you can just, you join a server, you can say, you can build some stuff, say, hey, I want to play, you know, a deathmatch mini game. So you start a mini game, and other people in the server who want to play with you, want to kill you, whatever, they can join that mini game, and then you'll be killing each other. Meanwhile, if somebody else does not want to be killed, they can just go along playing by themselves and be fine. So it's sort of a mini game system. And that has been extended by some of the modding communities. So there's been some RPGs and such that support, like, extended inventory and health bars and all that, and magic and all that jazz.
What's the cost of the game?
It's $19.95, and it's just a one-time payment. It's not an MMO or anything, so there's no monthly fee.
So if a new version comes out, they still have it and they can just upgrade, or?
Yeah, it automatically updates when bug fixes or features are added, and it's for life, I guess. Yeah.
How many play the game?
Well, currently about 2,500 people own it. And right now there are 80 people online, which is pretty typical for a weekday. And on the weekends, it might bump up to like 130 or so, but that's pretty typical.
And tell us a little bit about the history of the game. When did you start work on it?
Okay, I guess I started working on it in sort of mid to late 2004. It was just like a project I had started. I had the Torque engine which is the game engine that it's built on, since about 2001. And I'd made some other projects, but never really gotten through any of them. So decided I would simplify things and make like a game that really only needed one gameplay component. You know, what building is enough to have a game on. So I had gotten it working or whatever around November of 2004 and sort of forgotten about it. I didn't really think much of it. Some people on the message board that I frequent asked me about it and said, oh, hey, can we play that? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. I can package it up. And then so I got it released for free, and it sort of went from forum to forum. Some people posted on the Something Awful forum, and then it became quite popular from there. And then became the long, long, arduous task of, you know, polishing it to the point where you could actually exchange it for money and not feel embarrassed. And that took about 2 years, I guess.
What have some of the highlights been for it, media-related or stuff like that? What's been the highlight for you?
Well, the original prototype that I released for free got some press coverage, and it was in some magazines and stuff. And also at one point, over 900 people were playing the game. So, and it put it in the like top 20 first-person shooter games. So that was pretty exciting. But then just like selling it, like, I've always said that people will play anything if it's free. So having a product that people would actually exchange money for was pretty exciting, the fact that people would actually buy it. And, you know, and some people like email me that it's their favorite game. So I think that's pretty exciting that people actually enjoy it.
Does it have a fairly loyal following?
Yeah, it has its zealots, I guess, enough to, which is nice because, you know, the fanboys and whatnot that will, you know, venomously defend it on the forum and on other forums and stuff. So I guess you always need people like that. And there are some dedicated people who are modifying the game and adding their own stuff in, which keeps it going, keeps it fresh. So that's pretty cool.
Looking forward, we of course have the Lego Universe game coming out. Will you be planning on continuing this game for the foreseeable future, or do you think the new Lego game might take a bit of a punch out of you?
Yeah, this has been discussed before. I don't think it's going to be what people think it is. Like, I think the Lego game will be very successful, and I think it'll be cool, but I think it's going to you're not going to be able to build whatever you want. So you're just not going to be able to have that kind of freedom. If you look at like the Lego message boards, like every single post is approved before it's shown, which you have to have if you're going to have a game that you're marketing to children. Also, I don't think that you'll be able to build whatever you want. Like I think you'll have your own area where you can build, but it's not going to be an empty area where you can just build anything like Second Life, say, because the first thing people are going to do is build something inappropriate. Also, everything will end up looking like crap. If you have a world that's built by children, it's going to look bad. So I think a large portion of the game is going to be in a prefab environment that official Lego artists have made. And then there will be a building element, I hope. But I think for that like ultimate freedom of just building whatever you want, that Blockland is going to be better. And I hope to think that it will actually improve popularity a little bit, because it sort of brings the idea of a building game out into the forefront. That's very optimistic. But I don't think I'm just going to be like sunk by everyone quitting Blockland and joining Lego Universe.
Okay. You think you'll still have that niche?
Yeah, because it's just they can't offer the kind of freedom that you can get from an independent game, really. I mean, they can't do that.
Do you plan on improving the game in the future?
Yeah, I like to improve it. I think that's what keeps people buying it. And then the more users you have, keeps your old users playing it. And then old users will bring in new users because nobody wants to play a game that nobody is playing. So one of the improvements I'm working on now, the fabled version 9, been working on it for a while, but it supports more of a an interactive system so that you can put input and output events onto bricks so that you can say, like, when you touch something, that's an input event, or when you attack it, that's an input event. And then you have output events, which is stuff that can happen to bricks, like they can fall off, or they can disappear, they can change color, they can shoot projectiles out. So then those input and output events can sort of be connected together, and so you can make some really pretty elaborate interactive things. You can have doors and key panels and traps and stuff like that. And so I think that's going to add a lot more possibilities to the game. Which is something I had originally planned to have for the initial release, but it just had to be cut. I didn't have enough time.
If someone wants to find more information, where should they go?
Blockland.us is the website, and it's the first Google hit also. And for the there's a forum, which is where most of the modifications are, and that's the primary source for information.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.
You've been listening to LAML Radio. To find out more information and subscribe, visit radio.laml.org. If you have any feedback, you can email podcast@laml.org or leave a comment in our blog at radio.laml.org. Until next time,
click on.